Once again, well, today we'll speak about troubleshooting in Office 365. For the technical people, troubleshooting is the most understandable word. And once again, we will discuss the communicational process. I would like to have more living communication, so please ask questions. If something is unclear, in the beginning, immediately, you can ask me. Also, we'll have about 15 minutes in the end for the Q&A. And don't forget about Yammer. You already have been registered. If not, please do that. There's a lot of our specialists monitor these discussions, and they wait for questions to give you the answers. Well, let's begin. What are we going to speak about today? Let's see. Funny video in the beginning. Only problems with the sound. We have sound related problems. It's an old video about Exchange Connectivity Analyzer. It's several years old, but it's still very actual. And we see that utility is a very simple one. It's easy to work with it. Test exchange connectivity.com. Well, as you could see from this video, that will come home earlier, will save your time. So today we'll speak about how can we save time. Let's imagine a situation that you finally have got your vacation. Saturday morning, you drive outside of the city to have a trip. And then in the middle of the way, nothing could happen, but you know, you got a flat wheel, flat tire. How could you solve the problem? The first thing that comes to your mind, well, it's a question to you. Yes, replace the tire by your own, with your own hands. Take the jack, the wrench, jack your car, replace the tire, install a new one. What do you need? You need tools. You need to know what to do. It's not as difficult, but at least you have to understand in which direction you should move the jack. It's a new car and a service you will call. They'll come in about 4 hours and fix everything. Good option, but it's the option for girls. Why am I saying that? Is that sometimes it's much simpler and faster to remove the problem by your own, to troubleshoot it on your own. You need to know the tools you have available. You should know when to apply and how to apply them. You should understand the list of problems that you could often have in order to understand how to solve them. And we are going to talk about it today. And we'll look at the resources that can help us with this. We do know that Office 365, it's a number of services and products. Various services and products, and troubleshooting will also use different tools for that, and they will all differ. Some of them will even cross with another one. So for successful troubleshooting, we need to understand when and how to use those tools. And let's say, for example, that a situation happened that when we have gathered information, we've done something, but we were not able to troubleshoot the situation. You shouldn't get worried. The time was not lost, because when it's escalated to Microsoft Service, they will help us, because when our colleagues will get a request, they will start doing the same thing we've done. At least they will begin by doing that, and if there will be information that we have done all of these, this will speed up the solution. Yes. Just for you, we have developed a certain matrix of tools which includes the
biggest number of various means for troubleshooting for each platform: Office 365, Exchange, Link, SharePoint, those which are shown in black. Troubleshooter, do it yourself, and Connectivity Analyzer. Andre will demonstrate it to us how it works, and you will see. Well, it's better to see once than hear 100 times. Well, of course, please pay attention to the middle of the administration of each of the services. As a role, you see a lot of different tools for troubleshooting of various problems. So I would like to give the floor to you. Well, DIY troubleshooting tools. Just a second. The most popular tool, which really looks like... Okay, that's clear, thank you. Just a second. An image. It's a self-diagnostics tool, which looks as a questionnaire, and it allows us to quickly do the problem troubleshooting and solve it on a basic, simple level. For example, we have a typical problem. A user complains that their colleagues inform them that letters that should come from them, they go into a spam list. What can we do immediately on the spot? First, we choose typical scenario when we have a certain if the letters are not arriving, the spam messaging happening, it means that with Exchange Online problem is, and the next question that is being asked by utility, what is the problem? So we do understand that the typical scenarios of what is really happening, so the mail flow in a given case, well, what aspect of this topic we should tackle. And of course, I cannot send the message from organization, so we look at what is the most applicable scenario of what is really happening with us. And then we choose, well, in a given situation, message got stuck in the outgoing mailbox or in what do we have at the output? We have all the manuals, URL to AKB, that the problem is in the Outlook, and all the necessary instructions for the troubleshooting are following. We open it, and then we have a step-by-step instructions of what is to be done. So, honestly speaking, when we use this particular option, we can solve at least half of problems which, in principle, could happen in the Office 365. So let's move on. No, this is accessible to everybody, and by the way, one of those steps that we propose to users is to reduce the number of applications to the internal support or to a partner or anybody else. I don't know, who can this be? Let me try. In order to increase the education of your users. Typical things like fighting spam scenarios, they begin by having a situation when is to explain to users that perhaps they don't have to get registered on some unknown sites with a working email, and if user is not going to do that, then he will have spam in his direction, and will have less of it if it's not good. Remote Connectivity Analyzer, I've left it in vain, but yes, this utility does exist for quite a while, and today it went through a number of changes. It has been added by new functionality. And let's see. What do we have? Just a second. We can find it by many addresses like textexchangeconnectivity.com. We can easily, you know, put it down there. And this address can go into remote connectivity analyzer, and in any search engine you will have the first URL to this. Well, what this utility allows us to do? This utility allows us to define, to determine at which stage we have a problem. For example, user tells us that I cannot get connected to my mailbox. What options are available? Well, possibly situation happens, well, possibly service is not working. That's topic number one. Something has not been tuned up. For example, you cannot enter from iPhone, but can enter from Windows 4. Maybe something is not tuned like properly, or maybe something on the side of a user. Some problems with the Outlook or anything else. Topic number three, there could be problems related to the fact that user currently has the port 443 blocked where the Outlook works, and we have to understand that. Well, respectively, which tests do we have from the point of view of remote connectivity analyzer? We have a full set of tests exchanged, and for a very long time we have link-related tests which allow us to check the service. Separately, we have a possibility for the Office 365. We can test main things and capability of getting connected to Active Sync, possibility to get connected to Outlook Web Access, possibility to get connected to Outlook in principle, as it usually happens with the email and ingoing, outgoing, spam lists. Therefore, we can check the quality of moving of the mail between server and client. Then we can check free busy test. If, for example, we have an organization or a federation from the point of view of exchange, and we are exchanging information about calendars, therefore we also have such a test here. Also, we have a insert which allows us to, on the side of a client, to download two utilities. First of all, Microsoft Connectivity Analyzer tool. So what is the main idea here? Well, this general utility allows us from the side of the internet, from some independent source, try to do all those tests. But if it's done from the independent source, then everything is all right with services, and the problem is on the side of specific machine. Then we can download and install Microsoft Connectivity Analyzer tool in order to do all the same tests, but with a client machine, but not from the internet. And separately, we have a utility which allows us to do the troubleshooting, to troubleshoot link. Well, and of course, we have message header analyzer, when we can look at the header of a specific letter, put it in there, and then look at the details. Well, if we try to look at it, one of the examples we can use, let's try the simplest test and the possibility to discover Outlook, auto-discover function. Well, let's try to test Microsoft.com. We have to confirm it once again. This is my address. Blah, blah, blah. Microsoft.com. Separately, we should
separately. We will need to check the mark that we do understand that we transfer our password in even through the protected channel, but nevertheless, we can also check the mark that ignore SSL, but this is needed when we use preset local server from the point of view of Office 365. Well, it's not related to it, but nevertheless, what is this? PSX? XX? YRM? Mikhail? Okay, wonderful. Well, capture has passed, and let's try to do the test. So the test, well, it goes pretty fast, and we see that generally everything went good. And the next thing we can do the test steps and see what was the error. I don't really see what is here. He didn't like something about our auto-discovery, and you can see at what really happened, you know, some specific steps that had to be passed. What's here? And at which step he didn't like something. And, of course, the next steps are available. So this is a wonderful tool which gives us a possibility to make sure and understand where the problem is on our side or on the service side or maybe a specific situation with a client when he finds himself in some protected network and maybe this network has certain limitations which don't allow them to use this network and the internet and to get access to Office 365. So remote connectivity was preset like it should. Then I give the floor to Victor. If you have any questions, you may ask them. Another troubleshooting product that we'll be able to Office Configuration Analyzer tool or OFCAT. Application can be downloaded and installed on your computer if you have certain problems with Microsoft Office application like Excel, Word, or anything else. What this software helps you to do, it collects all the information about a package installed, Office package installed, then creates a report if it finds some bugs or errors. Tries to find certain articles and standard descriptions on KB. Then as a result you get a report. If everything works well and the problem if finds certain mistakes or errors, it will specify you which ones and which problems it has discovered. Then you'll be able to read more specifically. But if there are no articles about it and the problem is not out of common problems and the solution is not available, then you can send a report to the Microsoft service and they will look with their own means what can be done and what can be the reason for this bug. And then they will have a more detailed study. Well, we have looked at the main tools that we wanted to speak about in the beginning to do the troubleshooting. So which problems we see most often, more often than other ones, what you have to be ready for when you see the Office 365, especially when you use it too much of it. So as you can see, these problems can be with mail flow, with delivery or undelivery reports. Then you can have bugs with connection. DNS record has not been properly defined or not defined at all, which is pretty bad. Of size limitations for the message size, like OneDrive, SharePoint, and let's speak several words about SharePoint Online because this problem is also a problem with the performance. So let's with mail flow troubleshooting. Once again, let's imagine a situation that we have an admin at his workplace. He's not touching anybody, and suddenly his colleague runs to him from the financial department. She says, well, I've sent a letter, some report, or something related to the invoice,
And I was always replied within 15 minutes because it's very urgent. I send this letter once a month, and 2 hours they are not responding. I don't know what to do. I think it's a problem with the email. In order to find this problem, we have to understand how this mail flow is working. Well, we get first ideas in the head. What the problem? Maybe she has the wrong settings on the side of the client. Maybe some rules didn't work and the message has not been delivered. Maybe it was too big and has some files of a size, oversized files. Well, it's understandable. Financial people, they don't have to be trained in IT. So you have to search yourself. Maybe it's a DNS or maybe it was in a spam. In order to fix those problems, we have a tool as a message trace. We speak Russian. So it's the admin tool, which allows you to collect, well, it works as a service, which collects logs from all transportation service, and on each server, letter arrived, left, right, left. It collects all the logs, digests them, and then searches for some letters and gives you a certain result about this letter. And you can see in the framework of your organization, at least, what the letter is and which level it was transferred outside or not. Was it delivered within the organization or not? For example, you can make sure that letter was delivered, but it was not read. In this case, well, you will figure out that the person who should receive this letter, he is on vacation, and it's going to be the end of troubleshooting for us. And the report looks the following way. Many of you have already seen this tool, and please pay attention. It's an admin tool, very useful one, and you can see that the message was not delivered. And then we go to mail delivery problems. If the mail was delivered, that's good. If it's not delivered, then we get non-delivery report on DR. And this message is generated by a server where the problem has appeared because he wasn't able to pass the letter. Then he returns it, and the information can vary from server to server, whether it's an exchange server or maybe some other intermediate server. So what this NDR report includes? Three things you have to pay attention to. First of all, it's a generating server. Will give us information at which place the error happened, which server has generated this report. And if you look at these links to which the mail is passing, and you will find a stumbling block. First of all, I have to say that if NDR letter was generated by a server, you will understand that nobody has received this letter, and you have to look at the problem on his side, on the side of the recipient. But if it was generated by the recipient's server, then you should look at why did it happen. And this can be a problem on our side. Then you have to pay attention to the extended enhanced status code, ESC, which defines the reason for the error and points the possible causes, which is very convenient. For every error, there is a specific cause code, and it can give you a problem that was specified. And then these hop delays, you need to look at those. If it's an extremely big one, then it can be the connection problem, or maybe the performance of your server should be corrected. An example of diagnostic information, its main body, you can see it here. On the slide, as I've told you, point number four, bullet number four, it has a service specified. Then the 511, it's the error code, and it tells you that the mailbox is invalid. It doesn't exist. They have sent it to some Kremlin.com or whatever. And in a given situation, a user from our site made a mistake in typing the address, and the server have returned by saying that we have no such a recipient. And by the way, there's another tips and tricks. These letters, they look very ugly for users. User comes to us, said, oh, there's something wrong with my email. And with the Transportation Exchange Online user rules, they can be customized. They will look more humane, to say. And by the error code, we can make several templates. And then this NDR I would replace. So the user receives a beautiful letter and say, you have made a mistake in the recipient's address. Please check the address. Because the key words would be, you have made a mistake, not something that didn't work in the service. It's not the fault of IT, but it's your mistake. Check it up. And of course, that's how it can be seen by the user in the user information example. It's a description of the error code that we've been speaking about. Let's look in more detail at this and which error codes do exist. The higher is the letter, the worse it is. So if error begins with 3, it means that some real problems, temporary character, and number 5, these are really bad errors, like 511. As we've told you, it's the wrong address of the recipient. It's if it was formed on the side of the sender or the mailbox, recipient's mailbox has exhausted all the space and he cannot just simply receive the mail. And this description you can find for all errors, and they're available in the internet, all these error codes. I don't hear a question because it's not asked into the microphone. Yes, SMTP protocol and classification can be discovered in any place. And as Victor properly said, everything depends on how do you begin this message. If the 4 is in the beginning, then as a rule, it means it's a receiver's server plays some games with us. For example, gray lists. These mechanisms are used by Linux server admins when, well, the situation is very simple. When the message arrives, this mail server has never received letters from that particular server. So it does all the anti-spam checks, checks SPF and says, well, sorry, let's do it this way. I will give you a feedback that it's busy, and then I will record your IP address. If you are a normal server, then you will come back to me in 5 to 10 minutes for the second, with the second attempt to send a letter. If you'll come from the same IP address, then everything's all right. I will include you into whitelist and I'll continue working. Well, this approach is not really operational, and sometimes we have problems with it when, as an incoming server for us, a service of some big organization. This can be a public, Outlook.com, Gmail, Yandex, etc. Or this could be a big company. In other words, the next time, second letter, our server can send this letter from another IP address because it has a lot of transportation service. So the first attempt was done from one server, second attempt from another server, and as a result, some CFO runs to you, and then some bad things are happening because at least gray list is not our way. We never work with gray lists. But number 5 means that something is wrong on the side of the recipient. Let's move on. I'm not going to speak a lot about it. Reports about the delivery reports. What can we guarantee? If sender and recipient are within organization, then we can guarantee the delivery report and shed some light on the fact that the message was delivered, as you can see in the second option. If it's outside of organization, then we can say precisely that it was transferred. And if something breaks on their side, then non-delivery report will be generated by third-party server, and it will arrive in some other format. And of course, if the recipient's server is not accessible, then the message up to 72 hours will try to send it for the second time, up to 48 hours, and then it will return an NDR, non-delivery report. And speaking about the message trace and delivery reports, message trace is used by admins if something is broken and you need to find a letter and you have to understand where is it, if it's on our side or not on our side, if it's on our side and what happened to it. And then delivery reports have to be used by users and groups of users, because if you send some letter, important letter, then please make sure, dear users, to put a check mark in the Outlook, I want to get a delivery report, and make sure that the letter was really delivered. You can also put a check mark that it was read, but it's not as important. Next. Sometimes we have email connection problems, and very often the main reason here is that DNS records are not defined, are not set up, or maybe they are set up but improperly set up and you have to change them, or somebody have hard-coded the Outlook and instead of Outer Discover have defined certain server and then IP address has changed for this server, etc. Well, what can be our reply here? Can you hear me? The DNS problems can be something like we have omitted some settings, or maybe had some wrong settings, or the replication didn't happen yet. First of all, first advice, please wait up to 72 hours if you had a preliminary setting, because usually, as you know, DNS is being replicated, or it can be replicated up to 72 hours. Also, in order to check it, we always recommend to use some external utilities, and being more particular, Microsoft has a utility in the Bing, which is very convenient, that it works. Well, the checkpoints are used from all the continents, because for Nokia, I'm trying some European test, and my DNS has been replicated in Europe, but not in the US, for example. So if there is no possibility for the receiving system to check the domain, we have to understand maybe it's on the blacklist, and we have to understand why. In a given situation, we use Exchange Online, so the Outlook.com address, that's why there will be a discussion with the receiving party that has included us into the blacklist, and we should ask it why, because if the alloutlook.com will be in the blacklist, well, it's wrong, as any external mail service, usually they have letters from some specific user in the blacklist, and then we can look, maybe the user has some malicious software which sends from his Outlook letters. This is an option that can be available, or maybe our user uses all the signal words in the topic of the letter, special prices for deliveries from 2 tons of Viagra, etc. So it's understandable that this letter will also be in a spam. So we can figure it out. And the final thing is the next one. Well, on the slide, it's the last one, but it's the first thing. We have to check, did we check all the records properly? So have we properly defined the MXs? Have we properly defined TXPF records for the exchange? And for Ling, it's not as available, but two records. So the whole list of all those records that have to be preset in DNS for Office 365 usage, it's not a big one, but in any case, if the person who was setting Office 365, if he was following instructions, in instruction, there is a checklist that has to be checked at the end, and we have to figure out that we didn't forget anything. But if we have forgot something, then we can check it, and we can begin it with a DNS record. Well, thank you. We have cleared the DNS record. Let's see which problems we could have if the user or admin removes the mailboxes, deletes them in any way. Well, there are a few ways of deleting the mailboxes. The user can delete the mailbox by himself. The admin can remove the license and the office from 365 or from the exchange online. After the license was removed, the mailbox is stored for another 30 days, and it's the time during which you can restore the mailbox. After this, it's been deleted. Then you have to be very careful if speaking about standard methods. There is a possibility not to delete the mailbox and make it inactive for some circumstances. And the storage time is unlimited in this case. Yes, there are several ways. And first of all, why is this done in the exchange online? This is done when people are being laid off, so they don't pay for additional license. And we have to understand that one employee have left the job, the second one we're looking for, and we don't know when we are going to find him. So in order not to use a license and not to pay for it, the simplest way is to delete this mailbox. And keep it in mind that within 30 days, we'll be able to restore it and appoint it to another user. So these 30 days, they passed very fast. And you have to remember about things like that. There are two additional ways on how can we freeze this mailbox. The first one, the most common one, it's the workaround, is to convert this mailbox into a mail, make it a common mailbox, and common mailbox are not licensed in principle. But there will be another problem, how to convert it back to the user's mailbox. So in recent days, we have a new functionality which allows you just to make this mailbox inactive. That's how you can maintain all the information inside of this mailbox without using the license and without using these shortcuts. Because Microsoft always listens to its clients, and if it's really important to keep it, that's why we will do it. Yes? I don't hear the question. Exchange Online doesn't have this function. It was available previously, but not anymore. I don't know. I can guess. I can tell you what I think about it. But in any case, yes, we did have this function before, both in Exchange Online, in Exchange 2010. There was a possibility to always make TPST import of the mailbox. At the moment when the Exchange 2013 was produced, they did it online. So this function is available in the local one, but it's not available in the online version. How can we get around it? Well, it is possible, but not yet. I don't know why. But you can do it with the Outlook. Yes, you can always pull it from the Outlook, but those questions we usually have on a stage of choosing Office 365, user asks us, what will happen if we will use and then we'll decide not to use Office 365? How can we migrate back? All the questions with local mail backup also is in our disposal, and we always have those questions because of that. And the answer is a very simple one. Even if you stop Office 365 subscription, usually it doesn't happen like today. You have an idea that you unsubscribe, in irrespectively to the possibility that there is a monthly payments for the Office. Usually people pay for the year because it's cheaper. That's why this solution is not, this decision is not made immediately. But even if this happens, first of all, from the moment when your subscription will end, you will still have 30 days, operational days, but all users will complain that they constantly get letters, please pay, please pay, please pay, please pay. But 30 days, it's going to work. At the completion of these 30 days, there will be another 60-day period where users will stop getting access to their mailboxes, but nevertheless, the first 30 days, the incoming email will come, so you don't lose it. And another 30 days, when nothing will arrive to the Office 365, but in any case, 90 days for reverse migration is available. So in the course of 90 days, if you have not migrated, then it means you don't need it. An admin can log in even after these 30 days, you know, these additional 60 days. Admin has access to mailboxes of all the users. Users don't, but admin does. I don't hear the question. Well, it's a billing support. This can be private case with your tenant. And this is a private case because it's the first time I hear about something like that. We didn't have anything in big volumes. When did it happen? If you have questions, ask them into my microphone. Well, but in the course of 3 months, we approximately 10 users, they unchecked the license. Being unchecked, do you use user syncing? Yes. Well, you need to open a request, and it's the case when, if we're coming back to our initial example with a car, well, it's good if it's a wheel, but for example, you have a steam from under the car. It's understand, even if you're a master on this car, well, there's nothing you can do in the field, and you have to ask the specialist. So perhaps the wrong attribute has passed from another site, and the value of the license, it doesn't depend on your thing. It's done on the side of the Office 365. So something happened, and you have to troubleshoot it. Troubleshooting team have told us that they do it only English-speaking Bulgaria. They speak Russian, but we constantly get guys from India, Bulgarians, Romanians. Are you a partner? No. Client? Yes. Well, the situation is following. Well, on the English-speaking specialists, these cases usually take them when there is something very complicated, something less complicated, sorry. But what can be proposed in this case? The first thing that we can propose, we can offer you to find some cloud deployment partner, and cloud deployment partners have an option to go to tier 3 level service support directly, so they can provide these services to you. The second option, and a simpler one, is just to say them, well, colleagues, I need a translator, and they will find a translator for you. It will take it longer, but it's also possible. Well, let's move on. We have a next topic that we often face. Problems with stored data with some limitations for size limit, exchange online, size for sending and receiving message. SharePoint Online also has a certain size limits. And of course, OneDrive for Business also has certain limits. We'll see more in more detail. So speaking about Exchange Online, you can see on this slide which limitations are available. 25 megabyte message size limit, no more than 125 attachments in one subject, receiving limit 500 recipients, and message rate limit 300 messages per minute, and a limitation for the time of storage of letters. If it's a remote folder, they hold it for 30 days, then they are being removed from the removed folder, then they're stored another, and then it's not possible to restore them in junk email folder, additional 30 days. And by the way, I would like to give you the comment, 2 moments. The issue number one, items removed from deleted items. If the user presses the letter delete the item, it drops into deleted folder. That's another folder in the Outlook. And our users, you know, they know a lot of things, and they can immediately go to the deleted folder and delete it from there. Or maybe wait for 30 days, and then it will fly away from it. But it will not be deleted. It will go into the hidden box, deleted box. The user is not going to see it, but for the next 14 days, it's going to be available for restoration by the user himself, without even going to the help desk. So this is done very simply. Right button on the deleted folder, click the right button, then you press the button restore, and you see the list of restored items, restorable items. So within these 14 days, the 10 can increase it up to 30 days, but no more than that. And the first important topic, which is related with the limitation to the size of the message cannot be bigger than 25 megabyte. We have to understand that this value can be less, but not more. And we have to explain to users that in the letter, it's not the best way to apply a lot of attachments. In my practice, I had an experience when we've been migrating from Lotus to Exchange, and in one mailbox, we have discovered a letter with ISO image of Windows XP, because they had no limitations in the organization by size. There are a lot of designers working, and the first topic you have to explain to the users, don't do that. And the second thing, if they want to share with the audience with some big amounts of information, then they can put it into SharePoint, onto OneDrive folder, and share it. That's it. And you don't have to send these big volumes by email. Yes, of course, you can attach to the Telegram the CFleet container, but it will take a while. The Telegram will be delivered immediately, but the container will take a while for being delivered. So in the final specification is that the recipient limit. Periodically, we get requests when the company comes to us and they say, for example, we are internet store and we have to do the mail lists for our clients about some discounts that we might have today. It's understandable that database is big, and in these situations, we organize the mail list send out. We have to understand that from one side, we are much better than our close competitors, the same Gmail or anybody else. These limitations are much higher, but nevertheless, they are available. And spam machine should not be done from Exchange Online. So how can we count these numbers? Limitation by recipient number in a single meme. This CC, BCC cannot be more than 500 recipients. However, if as a recipient you have a group of a mail list, which includes 10,000 users, then still will be considered as one user. So that's the first thing. How can you significantly extend their number? So we cannot send this letter more often than 30 times a minute from the same mailbox. But there are two options. 500 multiplied by 30,000, 15,000 a minute. It's the next limitation of 10,000 recipients per 24 hours from the same mailbox. But if you want even more, well, there are two options. Option number one, you can send it from several mailboxes. Option number two, you can go to some professional company which does it professionally and provides these services, like Beeline or whatever. And they provide a lot of companies provide this SMS messaging services and mail services. And by the way, Microsoft never does such mail lists by ourselves. We always go to third-party agencies. Reason number one why we do it, so that we will never be found in a spam list ourselves. We don't want to see Microsoft in the spam list. There was a question. Microphone. Yeah. Hello. Can you please tell us about legal withholding of the emails and how long they are being stored? Well, thank you for this question. I forgot about this question. That's another way of putting the box on hold. Legal hold. Well, legal hold means that if our user is under some kind of investigation or suspicion, we can switch on a mechanism by which whatever user does, his letters, well, he will see that he's removed them, but he has not removed them because the time limitation for storage is limitless. This is one of the workarounds. How can we store? If the employee is getting fired, we can freeze his mailbox, just put the legal hold on this particular box, and then remove the license. By this, we'll store it forever. I don't hear the question. Yes. Well, the question is, how many boxes per organization you can have in legal hold? It's unlimited. Okay, if no more questions, let's move on. What other SharePoint online storage limits? Speaking about the tenant, 10 gigabyte immediately plus 500 megabyte for every user with appointed license. Here's an example. If have 10,000 users, then we get 5 terabyte storage. So these sites collections, there's an additional limitation which does exist, and also OneDrive for business has 1 terabyte per user. Office 365, it's a separate one. Yeah, another suggestion. You don't have to perceive OneDrive for Business as a possibility to extend SharePoint libraries, and moreover, as a scenario to organize the file junk box free of charge. Because OneDrive for Business, you know, you imagine when a person comes, he's given the personal USB storage card, and he is not being admined in a centralized manner. You cannot get connected to this flash card, upload the information, give the access rights. So this is a personal storage. So it's a personal storage for this user. Well, I have a question. Let's say I have several users. One user needs 100 megabytes to store some data. Another user needs several gigabytes. Is it possible to be done, and how? You mean redistribution of OneDrive's capacity? No. Or maybe. Well, this is also, well, you can buy SharePoint storage in unlimited volumes, according to my latest information. Sorry, another question. OneDrive for Business for Apple. Will it be available and when? Yes, it will be available. It's planned, it's developed. We don't have the deadlines, but yes. Let's say like that. I will leak some information. The approximate data is known until the next July. Thank you. The new Office product, Office 16, will be produced, and it was planned for the spring, so maybe in the beginning of summer, something like that. And out there, they will rework on the Office for Mac, and you will see a new version of it. There will be interesting link line possibilities, and all these extensions, they are planned for the next version. And well, if we kick the dog, the link will be on the Mac as the same as on PC with the same functionality, at least not less. Well, started speaking about OneDrive. So OneDrive for Business, what do we have there? Which problems we might have? Admin can appoint a certain library, a need for additional credentials, and there will be exclamation sign, which means that you have to introduce your credentials in order to get authorized. Sometimes we can't sync this library because it's too large. You can sync up to 20,000 items in the library, including folders and files altogether. So there's a limitation by number, and you have to remember that. If you will have such a problem, it will happen because you have a lot of files. Also, admin can appoint certain rules according to which you will not be able to sync it locally, but you can download it to OneDrive folder on computer, but only in the online mode access will be available, or the slide where this library is located, and protected from a download in a third-party mode. So let's speak in more detail about SharePoint. The problems that we see there, we see them pretty often. The first one is the performance problem. We want to see the downloads different fast. We want them to load fast. It doesn't happen always. If it happens too slowly, what could be the reason? Where should we look at? Well, I would like to bring to your attention the fact that 75 pages of SharePoint online, they download faster than 1 millisecond. It doesn't take a lot of time, but we can face 1% of slow pages, which spend more time, much more time for downloading. And the problem is here. It's like the principle, Pareto principle. 20% of work gives 80% of results and vice versa. This is something like that, but the numbers are a little bit different. Why they can download slowly? SharePoint Online. Well, this is a standard client-server architecture. The pages on the server can be complex ones, too much components, or they should be on the side of the client, the cache disconnection problem. And some weak channel. Let's see how it works differently. That's how it looks like. The server corporation is very expensive, from that cache is absent, and what worsens the situation is something like that. So a very big route from the farm to the end consumer. We have big latency along the way. And let's look at some other key problems. Is a performance of the SharePoint Online reduction. This is a structural navigation that could be available. It's too wide and too deep, which generates very big traffic. Content. When you have a lot of content on every page, big files, images, and big resolution, multiple requests, like JavaScript, CSS, and any other things related with development, somebody have developed in the wrong way, not as it's supposed to be done. For example, has added a lot of web components. You have overloaded your page, and as a result, this is what you get. So our recommendation about structural navigation is that less sites, less work. And it's more desirable to do as many slides, as many as you need, and no more than that. Because in order to work, well, the speed of work will not be reduced. The server time will be reduced because of this, because there will be less of junk in the server. Use manageable navigation and site structure reports in order to store some cache in the browser. Optimize images, please. And we have a SharePoint tool which is called Image Reduction. It allows you to compress images to the proper format so that they would take less time on the server. And the download delay is from the web development point of view. By default, the first part of the screen is something that we have in the monitor. The first thing we see, and this has to be downloaded immediately. Everything else can be loaded a little bit later while scrolling. HTTP traffic optimization. It is useful to use a content delivery network, geographically distributed network infrastructure, which allows you to optimize delivery and distribution of these products to end users. Then you have to parallel it by a lot of different hosts and provide requests together. Static resources should be together so that they all would go together, and the number of requests will reduce because of this. So these are some web tips. And do some static images. Well, speaking about SharePoint, that's it. It's a very complex product, and there could be a lot of questions related to it. And if you have any questions, write to Yammer. And we are more in exchange and link consultants, but we have specialists in SharePoint, and they will always be able to help you. Let's see what about resources. The main resource is the Office 365 community. Sorry? Can I ask a question right now? Yes, of course. Yes, you can. You know, due to the fact that it's a cloud technology, we are interested in security and providing common access to a specific site and to a specific file located in this site. How can it be done in the best way? What? How can we control this? Can you tell in more detail? So what is the question? Can you be more specific? An example. Well, on some internet site, we have a certain file. Let's say it's an Excel document which has to be provided to a person who is not an employee of the company. What are the problems? How can we control this? How can I be confident that link which is given to that person will not be passed to somebody else? Several people get access to this file, people that I don't want to get access to it. Well, it's a good question. What is the first thing that comes to my mind? Well, if we want to divide the access for the external users from other organization, important class is that they have to use Office 365 themselves. So we can use error mechanism or RMS, right management services mechanism, so we can put certain rights and documents, all the necessary limits, including all the way to the fact that this document can be used and opened by a target user, and only this target user can see this file. He cannot do print screen, he cannot store it, save it, print it, and these templates are available. So we cannot guarantee that at this moment of time there's not going to be anybody behind his shoulder. It's not a question of Office 365 or other similar structure. It's a question of other security departments. So when the user is being provided rights, so if we don't have very specific objective, that's the first one. And from the point of view of SharePoint, we have two possibilities of providing access to external users. Possibility number one, we can provide to external users the rights for participation in some of our site, access to some document folder. But at the same time, user should have Life ID or Office ID. So we send an invitation to specific users, and only they will be able to enter those libraries. The second topic is so-called vanish links. When we just put some document and share it by a short link, which we send to our target audience, and we cannot control it at all. So there are certain divisions here. If in the first case we can provide to external users a possibility to edit documents or to edit some parts of the internet site, for example, we hire some external employees for some project. And there can be a number of options, but we don't want to pay for them. You know, from the point of view of the Office 365 license. So we can provide access to them to some part of the internet site, and the framework of this access provided to them, they'll be able to do certain actions. And from the point of view of vanish links, direct link, it's accessible to all of them. You don't have to be registering Life ID, and you don't have to have Office account. It's just a link as a link, and accessible to everybody but for specific document and read-only. So people who receive this link, they will not be able to edit it and store it. Thank you. Sure. Microphone. OneDrive for Business, as I know, cannot be shared in the organization. Not through vanish links. Are there any tools which allow you to see which resource is available to be shared with other employees and vice versa, to see who of these employees has access to specific files or in the OneDrive and has an access to it in both directions? Well, thank you very much. Good question. So the internal tool which allows us to do some investigations. First of all, eDiscovery Center, which compared to land-based products, to local products. What is eDiscovery? It's a search. It's a software that is being developed out of the search center. It was the first one in the Exchange server. Right now, eDiscovery can search for information in mailboxes and SharePoint sites, in OneDrive, and of course in text link messages. After the latest update, we can also control our communications through link. We can use also Skype. So from this point of view, we use eDiscovery. Another important tool is PowerShell. So with the help of PowerShell, you can completely fulfill these two scenarios that you've been speaking about right now. From one side, you can request and receive a list of the whole content to which a user has an access, or you can select a certain content and see who was receiving access to it. And number three, also you shouldn't forget that there's another good scenario, like different third-party tools, utilities by third parties, because some things can be not really convenient. For example, recently we've been receiving invitation by Italian colleagues. They've developed a wonderful control panel, admin control panel, and Office 365 has their own panel, but why do you need the external one? But Office 365, from the point of view of the graphical control panel, has all basic and more extended functions, but when you need to do the fine-tuning, we need to use PowerShell. Some of the admin people will say, wonderful, we've been expecting it for quite a while, and some of the admins whose qualification is lower, they will say, why can't we use it through the graphical interface? And Italians, they've done a very cool panel, and they've done very good reporting out there. So in other words, anything is possible, and it will do it by inbuilt means. Some things have to be using PowerShells, or you will buy some additional products from third party. I assume that's what you want to speak about, right? Oh, what an outer space. Forward. That's how it looks externally. Where it comes from, I'm not going to tell you. Wonderful. Well, compared to me, you have used this offer. Yes, it was some kind of a demo extent, but it looks very nice. And we look at the exchange report. And in the Office 365, just recently I was approached by my colleague and he said, hey, Andrew, how can we look at, well, I see that right now Office 365 tells us that we have 5 users who never entered this Office 365 and haven't used it for quite a while. Maybe these are people who've been fired. Yeah, those people who didn't use it for 30 days said, wonderful. Where can I get a list of those? Because I see the number 5, but I don't see any details on them. Well, it's safe PowerShell. Well, thanks for suggestion. Everything that is available in Office 365, I'm telling you that if you will would like to see some non-standard report, then PowerShell, and with help of the PowerShell, you can transfer it somewhere else and into the Office BI. You can do it differently, but there are certain limitations related to standard functionality.
Коллеги, у нас время подходит к концу. Сейчас еще кратко по ресурсам с вами пройдемся. Вот сам, что Office 365 что из себя представляет? Это форумы, где можно задать вопрос, если вы зарегистрированы, или почитать ответы на вопросы анонимно просто. База знаний Вики, где какие-то конкретные топики описаны. Блоги от наших специалистов по наиболее актуальным и больным темам. Вот многие наши коллеги их пишут, ну и вот, например, инструмент Do It Yourself, который мы с вами вначале смотрели. Вот, опять же, если подробнее смотреть блок рабочей группы, в которых новости, советы, видеозаписи от наших коллег. Потом вся информация будет доступна, ссылки можете скачать, найти, использовать. Ну, тут много, да, полезных ссылок. Естественно, продукт постоянно обновляется. Это одна из причин, почему к нам приходит новое обращение. Обновилось. Мы все учимся тоже. И стоит заследить за тем, что же появляется. И что, в принципе, в родмэпе есть. Поэтому основной сайт продукта тоже периодически заглядывается. Ну и так как мы технические специалисты, вот Технет — это своего рода такая библия, в принципе, Microsoft технарей, куда стоит ходить за самой достоверной информацией. И рекомендую на английском языке это делать, потому что недавно буквально был случай, смотришь просто на русском языке, там еще старые планы написаны для малого бизнеса по 25 человек, а на английском то же самое все, но уже все планы существующие есть. То есть обновление может задерживать, вот поэтому практикуем английский.
Ну да, то есть как бы английская документация, естественно, обновляется побыстрее.
Входная точка communityoffice365.com.
Да, туда за толкованием той Библии.
В общем, спасибо за внимание. Если какие-то вопросы остались, можете вот сейчас в конце сессии подходить или нас в любой момент. Да, вот еще я вижу вопрос, микрофон, да, можно передать? Сейчас вот Светов поднесет. Контакты, соответственно, на экране. Вот если есть партнеры с компетенциями, пишите на RuPTS, с удовольствием поможем. Ну, либо мне лично как-нибудь. Попробуем решить ваш вопрос.
Такой вопрос, но он больше вот уже по предыдущей теме, вот SharePoint, такой, наверное, даже больше юридический вопрос. Вот, скажем, у меня был такой момент в работе, у меня пользователь запросил, у него вот развернут офис, есть пользователь, за которым следит
отдел безопасности.
Да, отдел безопасности. Ситуация такая, то есть они спросили, возможно ли отделу безопасности как-то вот как с письмами параллельно предоставить доступ к его информации, что он хранит, то есть какую информацию, какие файлы и так далее.
E-Discovery, с одной стороны, посмотрите, какой функционал предоставляет E-Discovery. Если этого мало, в общем-то, вы у нас партнер? Да. Silver Gold? Или нет? Я имею в виду партнерская организация или заказчик? Партнерская, да? То есть если Silver Gold, то вот второй адрес, пишите свой вопрос. Вот, обязательно постараемся ответить и проконсультировать вас. Если, собственно, как бы не Silver, не Gold, у нас здесь есть замечательная девушка Наталья Кац, которая является специалистом именно нашего отдела по продукту SharePoint и SharePoint Online. Она сегодня здесь.
Вчера, кстати, день рождения.
Да, у нее вчера, кстати, был день рождения. Она сегодня бэкапит и деливерит несколько треков для разработчиков. Вот ее можно найти и поспрашивать. Потому что мы, да, с Виктором больше за линк с Exchange. Окей. Еще вопрос? Ну, если вопросов нет, то большое спасибо за то, что посетили наш доклад. Спасибо.